All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 290 of the DFO Rundown, brought to you by Betano.ca. And it is April. There is 18 days left in the regular season. Lots of races and seedings to get to. Of course, you have March Madness down to the Final Four, NBA. And hey, MLB season is on. Frank's Phillies, Ty's Jays. Who do you like? Play it all at Betano.ca. As we welcome in Frank Saravalli, I'm Jason Greger. Frank, how's your weekend?
It was good. Hope everyone had a great Easter. And I don't know. I mean, look, everyone has some weird relatives. I think that's like fact. There's always someone in someone's family that's just tad off. And I explained to you before at varying points about my uncle, who on Christmas always wears a dickie. And if you don't know what a dickie is, please look it up, because your life will be changed forever. Think Christmas Vacation and Cousin Eddie with what he wears under the sweater.
All right.
But same guy shows up at Easter brunch every year. And he's a unique cat. Like an Easter brunch buffet. So kind of all you can eat. Yeah. And let's just say he got his money's worth. There's like five, maybe six trips to the buffet line. And I know someone out there is laughing, going like, oh, that's rich coming from you. Honestly, not a big buffet guy.
What?
I had one plate. I went back up for some chicken fingers, but like, that's not really my thing. Anyway, four or five plates stacked to the brim, like not sure how he made it back to the table. And there was some shrimp on ice as part of the buffet. And literally he was sitting next to me and he was slurping the shrimp out of the shell. And I wanted inside, I was just dying a slow, slow, painful death. Like, it was to the point where everyone had long been finished and had dessert, and he was going up again for another plate, a full plate of action. Like, we sat there an hour longer than we needed to because he was the only one still eating.
Is this at a restaurant?
No, it was at a golf club.
Oh, okay. So there was, it wasn't like it was the family one and everybody had made it and he was gorging himself. So basically he was getting his money's worth.
But he's never paid for anything in his life.
Oh, wow. Clearly that's why.
I text my brother later and I said, it's nice to know that he won't need to eat for the week because he's good now.
Yeah.
What? Seriously,
like a chipmunk.
Have some decency, some respect for others. Like, we're all sitting there waiting to leave. Like, my kids are restless and he's I need some more sirloin or lamb. Like, come on, man.
Why didn't you just say, hey, buddy, we'll be back at the house.
Here's $20. Stop at Wendy's on your way home.
Wow. Wow. I love the buffet, man. I'm a big buffet guy. Like, I love a good buffet, man. Oh.
And, like, would you go to a buffet place for dinner, though?
No, I go for brunch.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever been to a dinner buffet, now that you say it. I'm a brunch buffet guy, like huge brunch buffet guy. When we were in Arizona for the Post Malone concert, our hotel had a brunch. I found out the first day, I was like, oh my God, my wife's like, this is going to be the greatest week of your life. I'm like, yeah, it is. And it was like, and it was good breakfast. Like, and they had some things I'd never even tried before, like unique, good mixes. Like, I'd go three times. Like, I'd get my yogurt parfait the first time. And, you know, then I would go for bacon and eggs and some sausage. And, you know, then I'd have a fruit plate. Like, I spread it out.
Okay. But that's within reason, though.
Yeah.
Like, you're not jumping between different cuisines here. Like, you're not going like shrimp and pasta the first time, then going back up for sirloin and lamb, and then the next time hitting the salad bar. And then the kicker was, for dessert, he literally got every single dessert that was available and then brought his plate back and was like, would anyone like some? Like, no, we just were there. We could have gotten this ourselves. We are ready to leave, sir.
Oh, awesome. Maybe he just, was he talking lots?
No, because he was stuffing his face.
No, oh, okay.
But I'm telling you,
he's trying to extend the family time. Oh, yeah.
Slurping the shrimp. The
shrimp. That's a fail.
You cannot. Yeah. No.
No. That's it.
If it wasn't my mom's only brother, only sibling, I'd just say I'm out.
What does your mom say? Like, does she just sit there?
She's mortified, absolutely embarrassed. Like, it was to the point where, like, we'd be like staring at him walking back with his plate. Like, I don't know how he made it back. It was so fully loaded.
Wow. Guy's like the bottomless pit. And Uncle Buck, so he could eat. Is it the 54 ouncer? Is that what it is? Or 64? I can't remember in the movie, but maybe could he eat that?
Did you just quote the, if you thought the French toast was big, I couldn't get the pancakes through the door.
Oh, buddy. It's one of the greatest movies ever. God, I should watch it again.
So good. And I tried to introduce my kids to Uncle Buck, but there was some like highly inappropriate scenes.
Oh, no. It's not a kid movie at all. You realize, like, it's a teenager movie, I think, for sure. Maybe on like the mid teens, like 14, 15, they could probably get it.
Yeah, I made the mistake with my 9-year-old. We turned on Uncle Buck one day and it was like, Dad, what does that mean? Like, oh, geez, I don't know.
That's Buck a dad.
Melanoma.
Yeah. Oh, God. He's so funny. Here's a quarter.
Yeah, here's a quarter. Go downtown and get a rat to gnaw that thing off your face.
Oh, it's one of my favorite.
By the way, John Candy died yesterday, 30 some years ago.
Yeah, 30, I think it was. So
yeah.
Buddy, he was a beauty. Absolute legend. Sorry, Frank. I didn't have any family stuff. I got sick this weekend. So it's nice. It's been like twice in 3 weeks. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
good times. God.
But I refuse to be the guy who shows up at events when you're sick. I hate it. I don't do it. So I didn't go.
You would have thought COVID would have taught people.
Yeah, that's honestly, like, that's what taught it for me. Like, I can't.
That was the best thing going, was like when everyone, it was an amazing, like if you got invited to something that you didn't want to go to, you'd say yes. And then be like, oh no, I got COVID. I can't make it.
It is the easy out for sure. But I actually like my family. We get along. So it was rather disheartening, but
there's always one. There's always one black sheep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we don't, not in my immediate family. We're pretty lucky. So, unless it's me, maybe I'm the one and I don't know about it, but,
there's we'll a see. high likelihood if you don't know who the mark is that it's you.
Well, maybe. So I don't think so though. So, but who knows? We're going to talk about some teams that are officially eliminated from the playoffs. And cause let's be honest, I think it's Philly and Detroit. I think we can say that and move on. I think that's the race here in the month of April to see.
So you are willing to declare the Washington Capitals in?
I would. Yes. On April 1st, I would declare the Capitals. They're just, man, look at who they beat down the stretch here. Right. It was like they played a lot of the top teams, Carolina, Toronto, Boston. They're just winning or getting points against all of them. So
you're talking about three teams that the Flyers also played in the last 10 days and went 2-0-1 against.
Yeah. But the Flyers also, they lose to the crap teams. That's their problem.
And they're in an absolute spiral right now.
Yeah.
And they can't score.
Them and Detroit, it's both like who can lose their way into the playoffs.
Someone's going to, and guess what? We can make fun of someone losing their way in, but that's actually exactly what the Florida Panthers did last year.
Yeah.
Before they ended up going to the Stanley Cup final. Now, I don't think either one of those
helped them by losing their last game against Chicago. Let's not.
No, but Florida lost the game a day before that had them on the ropes, and then Pittsburgh opened the door. So it was ugly. But that's not happening with the Red Wings or Flyers.
Well, look at it. The Islanders are 2-7-1 in their last 10. The Red Wings and the Flyers are 3-5-1. Like, it is an absolute turtle race. Not even a race.
No, I said to you pillow fight, but it was a disgrace to pillow fights.
Yes. Like, shocking.
At least those are entertaining or could be.
Yeah, it's true. They could be. So let's get to some of the teams we started last week, and we'll because I know there's lots of fans from every team, and we haven't really talked about some of the bottom feeders lately.
Should we start with we got to talk Art Ross, no?
Oh, buddy, I got some Art Ross stuff fired off. What do you want to know?
Well, I mean, so McDavid has 25 points in his last 10 games. At one point, am I mistaken? At one point for at least a couple brief hours, he was in the league scoring lead, was he not?
Yeah, because he played a Saturday afternoon game. So when the game was over, he was leading by 1 point. But then McKinnon, he was 2 points up. And then McKinnon scored 4 points. So he's now 2 points up. So they enter March. They have a combined 27 games left between the three of them. McDavid has 10. Kucherov has 9. And McKinnon has 8. McKinnon has 127 points, Kucherov 126, McDavid 125. So based on games played, McDavid has a slight advantage. But Frank, any chance? So, you know me, I love stats. I like history. So I like researching stuff. So playoffs, the Art Ross race. Three times there have been three players finish within 3 points. You got to go back. First time it happened was 1955, and it was all Montreal Canadian teammates. Bernie Boom Boom Geoffrion, Jean Béliveau, Maurice Richard. They all play 67 games. Maurice Richard is leading with 74 points. There's three games left in the season. He gets suspended. That's when he punched referee Cliff Thompson twice in the face. He lost his mind against the Bruins. He gets suspended, and Geoffrion ends up winning the scoring race with 75 points, 74 for
Richard. Isn't that the Richard riot?
Well, that led to the Richard riots, yes, because he got suspended for the final three games of the regular season and all of the playoffs. But when you punch a referee twice in the face, you should be suspended for the remainder of it. So that was the first time. Now you fast forward all the way. A lot of fans probably will remember this one more. 2010, Henrik Sedin won with 112 points. Ovi had 109. Crosby had 109. Now, Ovi missed 10 games that year. So I think that's a big reason why he didn't win. But down the stretch, on April 1st, Sedin had 105 points. Crosby had 94. In the last five games of the season, in the month of April, because that's when, you know, they didn't play that until the extra week like they do now. Crosby went on a tear. He scored 15 points in his final five games to make it close. But Sedin ended up winning over both of them. And then the I think a lot of people remember 2015 more so for the low point total. But I think it gets overlooked. 2015 had the single greatest comeback in Art Ross Trophy history. It's not close. So when April started on April 1st, Sidney Crosby was leading the scoring race. You had Jamie Benn was fifth. He was 5 points back. Crosby had six games remaining. Benn had five, and he had to pass Voracek. He had to pass Ovechkin. And who else did he have? I'm forgetting. John Tavares, right? Crosby in 2010 scored 15 points in the final five games. You know what he did in his final six games in 2015, Frank?
What's that?
He choked. He scored 5 points in his final six games. He had a game in hand and a lead. Jamie Benn went nuclear. He scored 13 points in his last five games, including in his final three games. He scored 10 points with a hat trick and an assist in his final game of the season to win the scoring race by 1 point. It's the
and was shocked. He was shocked to win the scoring race.
Yes.
He didn't know that going in.
No,
I don't think.
No, but still 10 points in his final three games to overcome that much of a deficit over four players. So when we enter April now, people can say, well, yeah, McDavid has the advantage because he has two extra games, and maybe so. But Kucherov and MacKinnon, one of those guys can easily get red hot and score 10 or 12 points in their final three games. I think it's going to come right down to the wire. I think it's going to be great.
Okay, so let me ask the all-important question. What if Connor McDavid... So, okay, just some more numerology here. So McDavid is exactly at 125 points, and he's at 975 for his career. If he has 25 in his last 10 games, if he has another 25 in his final 10 games, mm-hmm. that will give him 150 points on the season and exactly 1,000 for his career. So the first question is, does he hit 1,000 this season?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
And the second question is, if Connor McDavid wins the Art Ross, what does that do to the Hart Trophy race?
Well, I think it all depends by how. And I've seen a lot of talk, and most of it emulating from Edmonton about, oh, look at McDavid, and he's come back. I think a lot of people forget on November 12th, Connor McDavid had 10 points in 11 games. Nathan MacKinnon was like 39th in league scoring. He only had 15 points, right? So on November 12th, MacKinnon was 5 points ahead of McDavid. Fast forward to April 1st, he's 3 points ahead of McDavid. And everybody talks about this great run McDavid's had, and rightfully so. But Nathan MacKinnon's only given up 3 points on McDavid in the scoring race since November 12th. He's been damn good too. And I just think that needs to be pointed out. Like Kucherov obviously had a little bit of a lead early, not massive, a little bit of one. And, to me, I don't discount a guy because he started hotter than the other guys and he's remained right there. I don't know if the Art Ross will impact McDavid enough. Now, if he finishes 150 points, Frank, that's different than winning the Art Ross with 138, right? So, and then does he win by a point and all those other things that'll come into it. So if he does go another 10 games with 25 points, which means he'd finish the season with 50 points in 20 games, like it's crazy, right? It's possible, I guess, because he just showed he could do it. But the Oilers play 10 games in 18 days now.
Is like he going to play all the games? I guess he should, right?
Well, I would.
If they're not changing their lot, are you playing him in back-to-backs heading into the playoffs?
Well, I think they will ask him. Here's the thing. The Oilers only have one extra player, right? One extra forward at this point. Now, you know what? And they don't really have they have cap space to bring up one other player. So could they do it? Yes. McDavid has been on record, and I've talked to him off the record many times. He feels he plays better the more frequent he plays and the more he plays. That's what he says. I'm going to listen to the league's top scorer here. I think he knows his game. He knows how he feels. And I could see them dressing him, Frank, but maybe he only plays 17 minutes. I could see that, right? I don't know if you're just going to sit out Connor McDavid. Wayne Gretzky never sat out games down the stretch.
They also had Coke and Coca-Cola and smoked darts between periods, like totally different time.
How many times did Crosby or Ovechkin do it? Patrick Kane. Like, my point is the NHL doesn't rest, guys. I'll say this.
But how many times did their playoff situation change or not change based on the game? Meaning, if they're absolutely locked into their spot and their matchup, and you're finishing with back-to-back games against Arizona and Colorado, I'm sorry. Like, I'm probably sitting my two stars for that last game.
If I can. Okay, but what if your lot is set? But what if McKinnon and McDavid are tied in points, Frank? Well, you're telling me you're going to sit them out? No chance.
No, but that's different. Is there something to play for? That's the first question I'm asking.
Yeah, well, I think there is, because there's
very likely to be something for the Art Ross for sure.
Yeah, and probably even for the playoff race, to be honest. Like, it's tight. So I'll say this. I hope Kucherov, McKinnon, and McDavid all play their games. I'll say that. I don't like players sitting out. Not a fan of it. They're in great shape. Do I think that extra 17 minutes of one night is going to make or break their playoff success? I don't believe so. So, you know, we'll see. The bigger question is, the Eastern teams, except Nashville, you know, they end earlier, right? The Rangers are done on the 15th. Lots are done on the 16th. Some on the 17th. There's six Western teams playing on the 18th. I can't see the NHL making them play on the Saturday.
I'd be surprised if one Western series doesn't start on Saturday. You need the late win. The whole reason you do it is for TV purposes on Saturday, to kick off your playoffs with a bang. I'm sorry. Someone should play stuck in that late window.
Yeah. Maybe somebody does. Or I guess the one scenario the NHL is hoping then, Frank, is that Dallas plays Nashville, because those are the two teams who are done the earliest, and they could then play, and it wouldn't really look that quote unfair as far as rest. But I'll tell you, I think those NHL teams, and I think they have a legit beef to say, wait a sec, we're finishing our regular season on the 18th, and now we got to start the playoffs on the 20th. I'd say pound sand if I was a
fan. Look, I've seen it both ways, and I would say I've seen series go from one round to the next, same exact time frame.
Yeah, but that's after game 7. That's different.
But no, I've seen it after game 6 as well. Like, it all depends on building availability and TV. Like, sometimes it is what it is. Some teams also don't love a prolonged run up to the playoffs. Some teams want to just stay right in the flow.
Yeah, I could see them starting Sunday in the West. I'll say that.
Okay. Well, I crazier things have happened is what I'd say. But just real quick with regards to McDavid and the heart race, like, this isn't me taking anything away from his season at all, but he's potentially 20 plus goals behind McKinnon. That's a pretty big, like, at what point should goals factor into the equation?
Yeah, he's 18 behind him right now. So I think it'll factor in. There's lots of things you have to factor in for sure, right? Like, that's, I don't think the heart race, there's
simple.
No, you can make strong. It's unlike a lot of the other ones I've voted on before. Some years there's a pretty obvious winner, right? I think, and to me, that's why I try not to have like, I think this guy's going to win.
A preconceived notion.
Yes, because then it can change. And with 10 games left in the season, like, what if one of those guys get injured now? Well, that probably eliminates them from the heart race.
Well, so this is why I'm asking the question, because I think at least heading into these last 20 games, McDavid to me was kind of third on my ballot, as I do it in real time. And I think he's changed at least my thought process coming down the stretch. That I think it's right. Basically, the way I view it right now, it's wide open.
Yeah, I'd still probably have him slightly behind. Like, it's hard to overlook Kucherov having 40 plus points more than anybody else in his team, right? Like, when we go by valuable to your team, that's it, right? McKinnon and McDavid are fairly equal in the sense of where they have you know, point totals. Then, you know, where Rantanen and Draisaitl are as far as running mates go and different things like that. You know, you look at their 5-on-5 score and it's pretty easy. You look at their, you know, 5-on-5 goal, 4 goals against, all that. It's fairly close, right? So maybe it does come down, Frank, like, do you value goals more? And I can see, you know, the NHL does. It's the tiebreaker. So, yeah, it's close for sure, but there's still probably a tier. And the thing is, when I do finally submit my ballot, 1, 2, and 3, it'll easily be the top or closest 1, 2, 3 I've ever had. I've never had a close 1, 2, 3. There's been a 1, 2 before where it's been a debate for me. I've never had a 1, 2, 3.
Hmm. Well,
and I think a lot of people, Frank, like, I think the voting will be interesting to see because everybody's going to have a different opinion on it. And it's not like it's wrong. If, as long as you can defend why you went one way and say, hey, I valued this, this is why. Da, da, da. And to me, that's fine.
Agree. Wanted to touch quickly on the NCAA tournament and not men's basketball, but it was an unbelievable, I don't know if you watched any of it. The regional tournament was excellent these last 4 days. And there's probably some pretty disappointed NHL teams today. You know, happy for their players and prospects that some of them are moving on to the Frozen Four. But if you're the Montreal Canadiens and you wanted to get Lane Hudson in your lineup this season, that's a tough spot.
But think about it, Frank. Does it actually not benefit Montreal rather than wasting a year of eligibility? Now you're going to get his ELC for 3 full years.
And yeah, it does. I think in the long run, it probably doesn't really make a difference. Cause I don't know, especially these next 1 or 2 years, how much the cap space is going to benefit them. I understand that it pushes the whole process back and that's a good thing. But I also think a huge part of their, you know, when you have a tough season that you're going through, to have some life injected in is really, it's a nice thing. Well, and I think it's something that they had been looking forward to.
Cause his final game will be, could be at the 13th, right? The 11th and 13th. Is that correct?
Yes. 11th okay. Or 13th.
So let's say they lose on the 11th. Do you play him in 1 or 2 games?
I mean, I'd leave it up to the player.
But if you're the organization, would you want to waste a year of eligibility?
Yeah, I'd say whatever it takes to make him happy.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
And so if you're BC or you've got players at BC, Cutter Gauthier, Will Smith, Gabe Perreault, like they, you know, by the way, we could also have a BC-BU national title game, which just take that and hook it right into.
How often has that happened?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
But I mean, in basketball terms, that's Duke and North Carolina meeting.
Oh yeah, no, it's huge.
That's unbelievable. So look, on the free agent front, 2 players at Quinnipiac that were undrafted that have received a lot of attention. Some would call Colin Graf the number one undrafted free agent available to sign. It's probably easier to list the teams that haven't been in the mix for Colin Graf. But a decision should be coming forthwith. And it sounds this morning like Colin Graf is heading somewhere in the East. I don't have it narrowed down just yet, but a lot of people seem to believe the Boston Bruins would make sense. Don Sweeney, their GM, was in Providence for the game yesterday, Quinnipiac and BC, which was an awesome game, an OT heartbreaker for Quinnipiac, the defending national champs, almost knocked off the number one team in the country in BC. They had them on the ropes. And so Colin Graf is one among the teams that were interested in Graf over the last number of months. San Jose, Colorado, Arizona, Edmonton, Boston, Pittsburgh. Again, those are some of the teams that had shown the most interest, but some of those teams were told on Monday that Graf is heading to a team in the Eastern Conference. So we'll see what that is.
Well, didn't he play before he was in college? Didn't he play for like the Boston Junior Bruins?
He's from Boston. Yeah.
Yeah. So come on.
So that makes sense. And again, Don Sweeney and a whole.
And he's a right shot center, Frank.
I guess you would call them.
I'm looking at the organization and I say, hey, in a year or two, which maybe's got the best chance for some legit openings? Pretty hard to argue with Boston.
Yeah, I'd say what'll be interesting is he an NHL player?
Well, yeah.
He didn't have a great regional tournament, and I think his last few weeks weren't great of the season. Teams had been all over him watching, you know, really since the start of this year. There's some people that think Jacob Quillen, his teammate, has a higher NHL potential. Quillen had scored some clutch goals, including a pair on Sunday against BC. So Quillen, another guy, 22 years old, left shooting forward. Decent size, 6 foot, 200. We'll see.
Yeah. So, yeah, teams always go crazy sometimes over the NCAA. And you know what?
It doesn't cost you anything. Like, why not?
No. It doesn't cost you anything. It's just, and I shouldn't say the teams, but some of the media, the way they cover these guys, like they're the, you know, these guys are first round draft picks and how they rate them. I'm like, pump the brakes a little bit. You're right, Frank. Can they be a good, if they can become, heck, if you become a third line, you become a bottom six forward in NHL, that's found money. That's awesome. But I do think sometimes there's too many media people that just overhype them, or fans thinking this guy's just going to be the savior. And, you know, we can go down the list of NCAA free agents who aren't that, they're just not that, they're not going to be those guys. Cause guess what? It's really hard to be those guys. I don't care if you're first rounder, second rounder.
They don't find a way to adapt, to your point, to the third or fourth line. Like Jimmy Vesey is a guy that he was another one of those highly touted college players that I think struggled to find his footing in the NHL and then really sort of got comfortable in a role that made sense for him. And he's, you know, think back to like a couple of the pandemic years, like his career was on the ropes, and now he's back to being a double digit goal scorer in a decent spot with the Rangers, who really like having him. It seems like Peter Laviolette trusts him. In talking to some of these teams the last few days, they think Quillen is a guy from Quinnipiac that could play in that bottom six, maybe unlike Graf, who might need to be further up in the lineup. So,
versatility. There's so many top guys who, because not everybody can be a top player in the NHL, and adapting and learning to be a penalty killer or be more of an energy guy, it's hard. It's really hard to do. And the players who do it, you know what? Good on them. It's not an easy transition as much people, and just not easy to somehow go from being the main person playing all the time to playing 10, 11, 12 minutes. Like, it's hard to stay in the game and be impactful in limited minutes. It just is. So, but yeah, the Frozen Four looks like it'll be great. I'd be curious how many times we've seen the two B's in the final. I love rivalries, so bring it on.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You mentioned Will Smith, Frank. So let's start with the San Jose Sharks, a team that's out of the playoffs. And what we talked about Columbus and Anaheim last week, and you know, Chicago, San Jose, to me, of the bottom teams, is the furthest from being competitive. Like, they got a real long road here ahead of them. You know, the Thomas Hurdle trade, I think, was good. They got, you know, young player. They get a pick. You know, they should have made that trade 2 years ago, and they would be 2 years further ahead in where they were, because they weren't competitive 2 years ago, and they tried to remain there for 2 years. And I think that was the sign, finally, that the Sharks realize we are now in full 100% on the rebuild, and it's going to be another 5 or 6 years, Sharks fans. I hate to say it, but that's just the reality.
I'm with you. I think, well, we've talked before about how I think the Sharks, had they actually held Hurdle up for auction, not only could they have gotten more, but I think they wouldn't have had to retain potentially on Hurdle. At least that might have been an option. And now having that on your cap for the next 6 years, I mean, it's not about the cap hit. It's really about the retained salary transaction slot. Like, the next time that they can retain salary is in July 2025. That's a ways off.
Yeah.
And I think, it, on the one hand, you're right, it's nice that they've sort of begun the process of ripping the Band-Aid off and tearing it down. But, you know, Smith is going to be a huge part of it. I wonder how complete of a player Shakir Mukhamudulin will be. But they need to restock everything. Like, they're basically starting from, not from scratch, but more or less. And it's hard to envision a window that they're competitive really before 2028. Like, I'd say 2028 is kind of like the earliest that I could see them potentially being competitive.
Oh God, yes. Yes, 100%, man. Like, they missed on a lot of their draft picks here in the last few years, and they drafted a lot of really small forwards, right? That's part of their issue. So, you know, it's going to be a real slow build. You know, we'll see how patient Mike Greer can be. And, you know, you mentioned the retained salary stuff, like, you know, how they're going to, you know, get guys down, like, you know, Logan Couture, we'll see if he's going to play again or not. You know, hopefully he does, but, you know, he's having some real troubles with, I think it's pubitis. And, they can't even retain salary on him anyway, right? What he said, he goes, hey, people aren't trading for a guy his age at $8 million, right? So, they won't be able to move him at least until they get one of the salary retentions off their books. So that's next, I guess July 1st of 25, right? So that's the earliest he could get moved. So, you know, and by then, is he even playing yet? We don't know. So the Sharks, I think they're going to have to be, I know it sounds dumb to say, but they're going to have to be ultra patient. That to try to expedite it and speed it up is going to be a disaster. And there's going to be, it's been lean years in San Jose now. I think this is the fifth straight year without the playoffs, Frank. Like I said, it's going to be minimum five, like 28. Sorry, it's not happening, Frank. That's too soon. They just don't have enough to replenish.
It's, this is going to be five. And their average finish over the last four seasons was 28th.
Oh, yeah.
Look at their attendance. I mean, you mentioned patience. Like, can they afford? Obviously, their owner can afford, but will he want to? Like, we're talking 8,000 people in the building on a good day.
Yeah, their weekend games are decent, but their weeknight games are very slim.
It's really tough. I mean, their average attendance this year is 13,600.
Yeah.
The only reason it's above the Jets and the Coyotes is purely because of capacity.
Yeah.
They've essentially got the worst full-size building attendance in the league, and it's not close.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't surprise you. Like, I get why Sharks fans are like, hey, you know what? Why am I going on a midweek game? Like, we're probably going to lose. Like, at the start of the year, Frank, what'd I say? I don't think the Sharks are going to win 20 games. Well, they got to win three of their final nine just to get to 20.
But basically from 1995 until...
Oh, yeah, they were unreal.
2019, like, they you couldn't get a ticket there.
Oh, and like they had the most wins Doug Wilson's first 16 years and the most wins in the regular season, second most in the playoffs. They were a really good franchise for a long, long time. I guess like a lot of the other ones, Frank, they're hitting the bottom, but it's painful. And I think it's going to be really painful because they tried to extend it a little bit. They should have 2-3 years ago, they should have got rid of some of their older players and just started then, but they didn't. And now they just delayed it. But not only did they delay it, Frank, they also missed some picks during that delay. So that compounds the issue. And now it's honestly, I don't know if they will make the playoffs in the 20s.
Fair question to ask.
Yeah.
But I do really like Will Smith though. And he seems to be a really special player.
Yeah. And they're going to get a high pick this year. And so, you know what, you can start to get a few of those that can help, but they got a lot of other places. Like, you know, we've seen an organization just because you have one or two good picks doesn't help you. You got to fill out the rest. You got to get some third and fourth rounders and some fifth rounders and have those players start to help out your organization. And then you got to get some.
The pick from the Carlson trade is almost a happy accident. Like there is no way that they were planning on that pick potentially being as good as it is.
Fair enough. Yeah. So that could help them. Now the Chicago Blackhawks, you know what? They knew they were going to struggle. Now they didn't want to struggle this much, but all their veteran guys they signed, lots of them got injured, and then Bedard got hurt. And you know, they probably, if you put Trouserm in Chicago, you know what? They probably like overall where they're finishing. They're going to get a pick. You know, they're probably going to have the second, at worst, third best odds here to get a, you know, first, second.
They're almost locked in. I don't think they can. They're almost locked in for the second best odds.
Well, they're three back of the Ducks with a game in hand. And I don't know if, dude, I watched the Anaheim Ducks on Saturday. They're not even like they want to finish the season. And I get it. But they are. That game was not against Edmonton. That was one of the most one-sided games I've ever seen. Honestly, like the Oilers had the puck. They would have the puck for 3 minutes. It was nuts. Now. The Ducks did give Vancouver a run, so I'll give them that. Right, that was a close game. Vancouver had to get the winner late, but man, they're 1-8-1 their last 10. I wouldn't be surprised if Chicago gets 6 points here down the stretch and ends up passing Anaheim. It won't shock me.
Well, who knows? Maybe that's that was one of the things I said last year when they won the draft lottery. That I love that they came by it honestly. They didn't, there was no, hey, we're pulling this guy out of the lineup. Hey, we're, it was what it was. And they won some huge games in the last 2 weeks of the year that had they not done that, they wouldn't have won the lottery. You end up where you're supposed to end up. I truly believe that. Anyone who tries to influence the process. And
so, you know, the Hawks, Frank, they're, yeah, well, you can say karma, but you know the Hawks, I think, are very different than San Jose. Obviously, they've already got Bedard, so that's a big advantage. But their organization a few years ago said, hey, we are going to go down to the studs, but they have a strategy that I don't mind. They at least will go out there. They'll overpay Foligno. They'll overpay Corey Perry. I know it didn't work out the way they wanted, but veteran guys to say, you come in, Foligno is an unbelievable veteran leader. Even though that team is in the dreads and they haven't been competitive all year long, you just look at, teaches him how to be a good human being, how to be highly competitive. He gets along well with the young players. And I won't be surprised if Chicago looks to add a few more of those guys this summer to ensure that their young players just aren't getting the tar beat out of them every night. That can take years to get over, right? Even though they're losing, like I don't feel like they've been overwhelmed, if that makes any sense.
Aren't these last number of weeks proof that they're not?
Yeah.
And it's their roster has eroded more than they probably wanted to 100%. Your point. I think this is the summer that they begin building. I think by the 2025-26 season, so 2026, and I said this before, I think the Blackhawks would like to either be a playoff team or be close to being one. That just look at the way their cap is structured. Like it's perfectly set up to do so that by that year, there's only a couple holdovers left. It'll be Mrazek in the last year of his deal, along with Foligno and Dickinson and Seth Jones, plus Bedard and his deal and Connor Murphy. That's it. So that's their thought process, is I think to try and build up for starting with that 2025-26 year. And you could see a path forward for that to be ramped up even sooner. Let's say that they win the draft lottery this year. Back-to-back years, Bedard, Celebrini, and that means that you cannot win the lottery for the next 5 years, right? You can only win twice in a span of 5 years. So I guess that would mean that they can't for 3 years at least. What's the incentive to be bad? There is, you lose the incentive to be bad.
Well, I don't want to, they don't have to win the lottery. Like, there's lots of other good players. Like, Celebrini is good, don't get me wrong, but, you know.
But I'm saying if you win, the incentive to lose is gone. The incentive to lose is gone. Because you can no longer win the lottery. You disagree. Yeah,
but you can still get good picks, right? Like, I think if Chicago tries to suddenly, you know, change their focus and speed it up, I think they'll end up with more mistakes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I would sit there and say, hey, we had a plan. We want to keep building. You know what? We can get another, because they've only got Korchinski and Bedard, right? As top picks in their organization. That's really it. And when you look at the
what about Frank Nazar?
He's a 13th. Like, yeah, fair enough. I forgot about him.
Let's say you go Bedard, like just hypothetically, Bedard, Celebrini. It's not an outlandish thought with where they are positioned in the draft lottery standings. Like, they're looking potentially at a 13 or 14% shot at Celebrini. You start with those two guys down the middle, Korchinski, Nazar.
Yeah. Now, Moore and Rinzel, I think those are other first rounders they had here recently that, you know what, they pan out, but maybe not superstars, but good support players. But if you look at, like, Chicago had Keith and Seabrook and Kane and Taves, right? Like, four. You had Crosby, Malkin, Fleury, you know, Whitney, they moved him for Kunitz, right? Like, you need, you know, multiple ones. The Bruins had Lucic and Bergeron and Marchand. Obviously, they signed Chara. But when I look at the teams who win and stay competitive, usually they're building through the draft with four or five really good core guys and then build around them with some good, you know, complementary guys. Most of them drafted.
I think the future is
Tampa Bay.
I mean, that I like where they're heading. The foundation is set. And with Bedard, just look up that story that I tweeted from Paul Peduti on Daily Faceoff about how his 18-year-old season stacks up. I mean, he didn't turn 18 until July. He's on track for like 77 adjusted points when you can compare it to the Crosby era, the other generational talents. Like, we're talking about an elite, elite rookie season.
I've always said, man, if he could be Kane, and that's unreal. If you're better than Kane, that's phenomenal. The other team that's officially out, and we'll do more, the Arizona Coyotes. And this is the most interesting one because, you know, there is the main question about the long-term viability, maybe even short-term viability of the Coyotes in Arizona. That's probably the biggest offseason story for that organization.
It's probably the biggest offseason story in the league, to be fair. Look, I think the fact to me that the Arizona Coyotes do not have an NHL defenseman under contract for next season says a lot. Why isn't Sean Durzi extended? Why isn't Yusuf Valimaki extended? Like, I think they're in a spot where they're not able to commit dollars to players right now. Saw them unload a couple of their players at the deadline, Dumba and Zucker, for less than ideal returns because they weren't willing to retain. So money is clearly an issue. It's clearly at the forefront. Parking all of that relocation talk for a second and or arena talk, I don't know how many teams are better prepared for the future than the Coyotes. There's still a ways to go to, you know, to make that jump to being a playoff team. But when you see Cooley doing the things that he's doing, you see the hot start that Josh Doan has. And look, he had a great year in Tucson, and sort of they're developing these guys the right way. It seems like they have a good thing going in Tucson, and you see some of the other pieces that they've got on the way. And then you look at all the picks that they have. I mean, from a pure hockey perspective, if you are Ryan Smith in Salt Lake City, the Coyotes, I think, are light years better than what you could get in an expansion team. Just in terms of foundational pieces. I think if you're Ryan Smith in Salt Lake City, that's how you have to think about it. Do we want to wait for an expansion team, or should we push to get a team that could hit the ground running?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that. It's funny because if you like Vegas is maybe the exception. I think the rules have changed and stuff. And, you know, they're a team that doesn't really build to the draft yet. Although any picks they get, they have used some of them to get good players. But yeah, Arizona on paper has a lot of good young prospects. There's no question about it. They haven't been able to really, and we could argue for a decade, Frank, they haven't really been able to take that and bring them to the NHL, but there seems to be a better focus the last few years of developing their young prospects.
And they've done a nice job, and they continue to have picks and things in their arsenal that they can begin to like, think about the spot that they were in last summer, the Kings decide for whatever reason that they need to dump Sean Durzi on a whim, in June, right before the draft. They have an abundance of second round picks. Yeah, sure, we'll trade you a second round pick for Sean Durzi, no problem. They're able to leverage those situations because they've got the stockpile sitting there that I don't even think they could possibly use all those second round picks that they have, because at some point they're going to run out of players to give contracts to. They're going to run into a contractual issue with the 50 contract limit. So they've got a staggering number of picks, 10 second round picks over the next 3 years. They've got two additional third round picks this year, plus their normal firsts. They're in an enviable position from that perspective. So look, I think this year was an interesting choice to go in and try and sign some free agents. I think the smart thing that they did is really not commit any term. It never really is something that hurts you to have a player on a one-year deal. It didn't work out from a playoff perspective. That team wanted to be more competitive this year. They sunk like a stone. Really kind of from the new year on in the standings. And I like what Andre Tournier has brought to the table as coach. They just need more time, I think, more than anything, just time.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out if that time comes in Arizona or in Salt Lake. I got to think that decision, Frank, is, do you think it's made before the end of this month?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Because I just think the league has some runway here, and I've discussed at length the thought process behind it. I just don't know how much the league is willing to push the envelope here. Are you willing to go down the path of involuntary termination of a franchise ownership? It's a pretty big step to take. And I think they're intrigued or curious about the thought process and, you know, what that would look like behind it. Is there a chance that they could get Coyotes owner Alex Mariello on board and basically get a deal done with his blessing that they take ownership of the team again and then end up flipping it to Salt Lake? Because that's the only way there's an incentive for the league. I don't think they're going to just necessarily broker a pure sale to Ryan Smith and then relocation, because then the rest of the league's owners don't make out. And frankly, after what the league has done to prop up that franchise over the last two decades and the money that they spent to float that team during bankruptcy, I think the league's owners deserve a piece of whatever happens next.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Let's bring in Tyler Uremchuk. Ty, how you doing?
I am good, gentlemen. Let's get into it with a new edition of Buy or Sell, delivered by DoorDash. 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Nation25. No playoff races out in the Western Conference, but I wanted to talk to you guys about a couple of interesting seeding races in the West. The Edmonton Oilers, six back of the Vancouver Canucks, but two games in hand and a head-to-head matchup still to play. And then you have the Nashville Predators, just 4 points back of the Winnipeg Jets, who are in an absolute free fall. If you had to buy, or would you buy on either the Oilers catching the Canucks or the Preds catching the Jets, Frank, you buying on either of those as we head down the stretch?
No, I'm not. I think the eight. Well, I'm not going to go out on a ledge that far. I was going to say that I think the standings are more or less locked in, because I'm not willing to concede yet on the Avs catching the Stars. But man, the Stars have been really good, and it feels like no one talks about them enough.
Seven in a row
and a 3-point cushion, although the Avs have a one game in hand. So I'd say six of the eight spots are locked in.
All right. Jay?
Crazy?
Oh. Yeah, there's so much time left, and you know, like, we're talking 1 or 2 points between these teams. Like, Vancouver plays Vegas twice. That's you know, that, and they play the Oilers once. That could have a real big impact. You know, you look at Colorado. You know, they do face Dallas once. They got the Jets. I think they got four of their eight games are against you know, playoff those top 10 teams in the league. Plus, they got Vegas. So, yeah, I think Dallas probably does hold off Colorado. Like, Edmonton's technically 7 points back, guys, because of the tiebreaker, right? Vancouver's got more regulation wins by, I think, like five. So Edmonton would have to actually outright beat them in points. So, you know, A, they got to win their two games in hand. Then they got to beat the Canucks head to head. If that happens, okay, sure. You know, there's a possibility, but I think it's pretty slim. So actually, I think the closest one might be LA and Vegas, to be honest. I know they're 3 points separated, but the Kings have the game in hand, and I look at Vegas's schedule. Vegas is, they got like Vancouver twice, Edmonton, Colorado. Now their advantage is they finished the season with Chicago and Anaheim. So
I just look at the way Vegas has played the last 2 to 3 weeks, and it's way better. Their process has been better. That's why I just don't see them, the Kings, catching them. Yeah. But
the Kings just have a way easier schedule, right? They got the Sharks, Ducks twice, Seattle,
Gregor is the king of the schedule. He's the sked man.
Yeah. Well, I like to look at, hey, buddy, I think it matters down the stretch. I took all the hours to get it all. So I got to remember it. So,
all right.
I think it matters.
In the Central Division there, we'll stick with that for a quick moment. The Winnipeg Jets, let's say they are locked in then as the 3 seed. Which one of those two matchups would you want to buy on if you were a Jets fan? Would you rather face the Stars or the Avs? Which one would you buy, Gregs?
Well, if you're going to base it on a regular season schedule, then it's going to be Colorado, which sounds stupid, but they're undefeated against the Avs, and they can't beat Dallas. And then the Avs don't lose to Dallas. Like, it's a crazy three-way between those three teams. Not in the sense that Frank's thinking. I'll just say it in advance of him. But
what are you saying? I'm a guy that's into three-ways?
Well, no, but you always were going to make a comment about it, so I thought I would just jump ahead. The thing is, though, when they faced the Avs didn't have the trade deadline acquisitions, right? The way Winnipeg's playing right now, their head coach even came out and said, man, we need more. Like, their top guys are killing them right now. Did you see that they gave up a 4-on-1 in that Ottawa game with all their best guys on the ice? Like, their best players got to be better. And I don't think Winnipeg's top end guys, now the one advantage they would have is in goal. In any series, like, Ottinger's numbers, meh. Gorgiev is not Hellebuck. I would take Winnipeg's goalie in either series. The problem is, the offense of Colorado and the offense of Dallas is quite a bit better.
So yeah, I think like 50 plus goals better, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the problem. Like, the goalie advantage isn't going to cover up the gap in the forward disadvantage, I find.
Man, I'm so torn on this. I don't know. Like, I think it's quite literally picking your poison.
Might be.
With both of them. I know that's why you asked the question, but I'm going to say Colorado, because I did pick Dallas to win the cup to start the year. And I've said a million times on our show that I think the way Dallas plays is uniquely translatable to the playoffs. Not to say that Colorado isn't, they've won a cup, but I don't love Georgiev and his game. And I know what you said about Ottinger and his numbers, and I know it's a different team, and there was a whole thing going on with Nichushkin and whatever else last year, but the Avs did lose in the first round last year, and they did lose to Seattle in game 7. So it's not impossible.
Yeah.
But I think in either matchup, the Jets are still the betting underdog.
Mm. Oh, yeah, 1,000%. All right, next one I got for you guys. You talked about the race for the Art Ross, the three guys all up north of 120 points. Last year, we ended up with 11 players hitting the 100-point mark, and we're not going to get that this year, as there's really only 10 players who have a real realistic shot at it. It's, again, the big three, and then Panarin, Pastrnak, Rantanen, Dreisaitl's at 98. He should get there. Matthews, Nylander, 95. They should get there. And then JT Miller at 94. He should get there as well, and he would give us 10. Frank, you buying or selling on 10 100-point scores? Think JT Miller can get there?
Yeah, I'm buying.
Buying?
All day long.
Simple as that. Greg's?
Mm-hmm. He's got 10 games, or 8 games.
Yeah, he's got 8 games. He has 6 points. I guess it's kind of a lock. Well, then let me flip this. We got Reinhart, who would need 14 in his final 8, or Aho, who would need 15 in his final 10. Do you give either of them a shot at getting to triple digits to give us the 11 we had last year, Gregor?
No. I already have an article about that's coming out once the season's over that has already 10 100 points players, so I don't see any others.
You've pre-written it. There you go. That is a wrap on this week's edition.
Well, pre-researched it, I should say.
That's a wrap on this week's edition of Buy or Sell, delivered by DoorDash.
Do you also pay your mortgage 6 months in advance or what?
Buddy, I'm mortgage free, baby.
Are you really? Look at you.
Yep. I had we had a big goal of it many years ago. So that happened last year, Frank. It was quite
congratulations.
Yeah, it was nice.
So, I'm in debt up to my eyeballs, but in a good way. All real estate. Yeah,
no, nothing wrong with that. No, I lucked out though. I got married later in life, and both my wife and I were had places that were, well, I had a condo that was paid off, and she had a small house that was almost paid off. So when we joined forces, it allowed things. There's no university debt. I'll say that. So that was nice. Yeah. So. But to your point, Frank, yeah, I was a little anal in paying mine off. The old double payments when you could. So
Canada's so different. The fact that there's no benefit to keeping your mortgage in Canada, it's crazy. Like for us with taxes, like you get tax write-offs for keeping your mortgage. Like you get to write off all of the interest you paid.
Oh yeah, well, so do you in Canada. You get to write off interest on your mortgage.
But you're also you guys don't have 30-year loans, so your rates can fluctuate.
Yeah, you can get a 20-year mortgage, but yeah, it's got like a 5-year thing or whatever. So yeah,
after 5 years, it's up for like your rates up for fluctuation. So for most of the people here, you sign a 30-year note,
and it's locked in for 30 years. It's
locked in complete. So my rate is 3.6%, and it's until 2050. Really? Doesn't matter what happens between. I don't have any incentive for me. I can just not. This isn't a financial podcast, but I can take the additional money that I would have spent on principal or interest. But since you can write off the interest, it's better for me to take that money and put it in the stock market, where I can get a return better than 3.6 than it would be for me to pay down my mortgage.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything here. We got some Easter brunch talk, some shrimp slurping.
Dude, I can give you what you need to do, Frank, though, is loan yourself the money every year through your company. That's the best way to get around your mortgage payments. That's the key. So we can get into that on another pod if you like. Yeah, it's all legal.
I'm going to call you as soon as the show's over. What does that mean exactly?
Well, I could tell you about it. So it was because paying interest sucks. I hate it. Like Visa, I never have a Visa bill. I don't like I should never say I never have a Visa bill. I just never not pay my Visa bill because the interest on that, like interest is what kills you and everything. So
yeah,
I would tell any of our young listeners out there, do not get interest debt. It'll crush you. Crush you. Frank, did you get, speaking of crushing, did you get crushed in the Wendy's this week? How far did you make it in our Wendy's daily survivor pool?
Nope. I was out on day one. The usual.
It's a tough one, buddy. The good news is have you tried to go to Wendy's? Because obviously there's weekly prizes and they have the new tear apart Cinnabon. Oh my God. I tried it this weekend, Frank.
Did you?
My wife asked me, she goes, she was going out and I wasn't feeling good. She goes, you need anything? I said, yeah. Can you get it? She's like, what are you talking about? I said, just go get it. I want to try it. Because she knows I love cinnamon buns of any kind. It was actually surprisingly really good.
Like, not surprisingly, anything was
really good. Like almost to the point like of one, I was like, oh, thank God I wasn't there because I would have went right back in and bought another one. Yeah. So that, like now it's like, if I drive by it, cause it's on my way to work, there's one, I drive by it. Like I literally have to look the other way. Otherwise you can just see my steering wheel just into the parking lot. Cause, oh, so anybody out there wants to try it, trust me.
Kind of like Mr. Sweet Tooth. I was going to say, kind of like my uncle going back to the buffet.
That's right, Frank. I would be Uncle Charlie, just wheeling up there, you know, drive through the drive-through once, go around the building again. Hi, can I have a tear apart Cinnabon? Person comes up. Weren't you just here? No, I wasn't. You could do that like three or four times. God, I could eat. Like it was so good. So check it out. Go to dailyfaceoff.com, the Wendy's Survivor Pool. And it'll be hard to win the year-long prize if you're just joining us late. But trust me, you won't be disappointed to win the weekly prizes of free food at Wendy's. Frankie, this week, is there one matchup that you are most interested to watch? Any games, any players, any storyline of the games this week?
I would say Leafs Panthers is going to be pretty, pretty good. Potential first round matchup on Monday night.
Yep.
I would say anytime we've got Canucks Golden Knights like we do on Tuesday, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And look, who am I to be disappointed in an old school Pens Caps matchup on Thursday?
Ooh. And hey, a head to head potential Art Ross battle Friday, McKinnon McDavid.
Not bad. This is the best time of the year. I think this is the best sports period of the year. I know people say, oh, October with playoff baseball, but you've got baseball going on, March Madness, college hockey, Frozen Four, basketball playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, what?
WHL, junior hockey playoffs in Canada, all the CHL playoffs are going on.
Just the NFL.
And the Masters is close. Right. Oof. So no, there's lots happening.
Getting April horny just thinking about it.
Is a great month for sure. Everybody have a great week and we will chat with you later.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Sarah Volley and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you gotta pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You gotta decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's gonna find the back of the net first, and you're gonna wanna be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you gotta predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.